news time.
Hello, I'm Jamie. Last year I led the Year 12 boys, who are not here anymore. And I team lead a bunch of the junior high leaders. But when I was at youth, when I was sitting in your chair, I was a bit of a scumbag. The language I used was horrible. There was one summer camp where there was this girl that I liked, and she started flirting with another guy. And we were pretty close to going out. She just ditched me. Wow. And so for the rest of the camp, I relentlessly bullied them. I called out year group time how not to be a tool like Davo. I sat behind them on the bus home and I just constantly tore into them, mocked them, teased them, comment after comment, to his face, behind his back. And so he left youth group. And now he's no longer a believer. And my social group? Well, most of them all left church and a lot of them aren't Christians anymore. I teased and bullied and belittled all of them under the guise of banter. I did a lot of that here at church on a Friday night because I was trying to be funny. And my mates, well, they hated it. They felt hurt, so they left. We live in a culture where banter and teasing is commonplace. It's expected. It's the normal. Swearing is cool. We gossip about our friends. We sledge people in sports. We rip into anything and everything. We have Gogglebox where randoms are paid to judge other TV shows. We laugh and we love it of the drama of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, where people stir up drama, they lie to each other to gain an advantage in the game. But we also live in this hypersensitive world where everyone is a victim. There's an old famous saying, maybe from your parents' generation, which is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Which I think is rubbish, because words hurt. Words are powerful. In our culture today, in the world around us, we need to be very, very careful with the words that we say. Because people are offended and hurt all the time. That's why cancel culture is actually a thing. People look back at something you said many, many years ago, and they'll try to get you kicked, try to get you canceled. They'll try to show that maybe you're racist, maybe you're sexist. And so the big thing of today's age is inclusive language. We need to use words like birthing parent rather than mother. Did you know that using the word American is actually offensive? So you need to use the word US citizen because it's implying that America is the most important place in the Americas. Crazy. So there's other offensive words are you can't use you guys or white paper. And so you can't even use the words like trigger warning because it can create stress for someone with what's coming next. And so it's banned. The word trigger warning are banned. These words were chosen by the Stanford University as a list of banned and offensive words not to use. The Stanford University is one of the topmost US citizen residing education facilities. Right. Yes. Welcome. Words are important to culture, to the world out there, but also to God. If you've been following along in Exodus, maybe like me, you've been surprised at the intensity of God, at his holiness, at how much he hates sin, at how separate he is from us. And I want to suggest that God cares so deeply about the words that we use, that this isn't just a minor issue, that we can just forget about this and move on with our lives in the next few days. Because this ninth commandment is a sneak peek into how God views language and the words that we use. Why? Why does God care? Well, because our God cares so deeply for all people and his heart breaks when people hurt and suffer. And so when we use derogatory terms that demean our fellow humans or even our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, God is angry. He hates that because he loves them and because he loves you so much. So how we speak to each other and about each other is such a crucial thing. And it's something we can all get better at. So the big idea for today is that the words that we use reflect our heart. So let's get into it. Let's see what the Bible has to say about false testimony, about lying, and about speech. We're in Exodus 25 and we're looking at the Ten Commandments. We're at the ninth one, which is verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And if you're in Exodus 25 in your Bibles, you'll see that it comes in the second half of the commandments. When we're focusing on our neighbor, the last half of focusing on our neighbor and loving them, we can split the Ten Commandments up into kind of two chunks. The first half is loving God, and the second half is by loving him. So the first half about God is not swearing with his name, not having idols. And the second half is about our interaction with people. Don't murder or be angry. Don't covet. Don't lie. It's kind of like a funnel in terms of seriousness. You start at murder, which is pretty serious. You're going to get in trouble. You get arrested. But if you covet, no one's really going to know. No one's really going to care. And so we may be tempted to think that lying down the end doesn't actually matter. But it's still there. It's in that list. And God cares deeply about it. The words that we use when we are hurtful, when we are mean, they're punishable by death and destruction. The words that I've used with my mates, even in the past week, are enough to send me to hell. Is that too intense? Do you think of God like that? Do you think of your own actions in the past week as evil? The words that you used. Maybe we can think of God as too passive, and maybe this intensity can shock us. But the reason why God is so angry at the hurtful words that we use is because he's the God of truth and of love. The intensity in his anger is because of his intensity of his love. He loves you and he loves me so, so much that when someone hurts you, that breaks God's heart. We've all been there when maybe that banterous comment just hits that nerve and we feel hurt. God is angry when you feel hurt. God is angry at that person who hurt you. He feels your pain. We're going to have a continue on and see what the rest of the Bible has to say about this. We jump back to verses to Exodus 23, where it says again, "You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness." So God previously, he commands the Israelites to stop spreading a false report, to tell the truth. This is mainly in a court setting, where they're disputing what happens. But then later on in Leviticus, it repeats the Ten Commandments again and says, do not lie, do not deceive one another. It's a pretty clear command. There are so many verses, so we cannot think that God doesn't care. In Proverbs 6, there are six things that God hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. A lying tongue and a false witness are things that the Lord hates. They are detestable. And in Zechariah 8, verse 16, these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Speak the truth to one another. It's pretty clear. That's just the Old Testament. What about in the New? Does God still care? Or were these just cherry-picked verses that are out of context? Maybe you think, well, banter and gossip, they're fine. If they aren't lies, if I tell the truth. If there's some truth, maybe I can get away with it. Or even if it is a lie, maybe it's okay if people laugh. Well, hopefully let's see in the New Testament that it maximizes the law. So let's look at Colossians 3, verse 9 to 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So this is similar to the other commandments. But because we have a new self through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what's driving us to not lie, to tell the truth. In James, it says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Do not slander one another. Don't speak against your brother. Don't even judge them. It's now going from the action to the heart. Slander is more about the tone. It's about the intention of the words rather than the truthfulness of them? Or how about in Ephesians 4, where it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." No unwholesome talk, only what is helpful. That's a massive ask. That's an impossible ask. I don't even know what other people's needs are. Most of what I say is to benefit me, not to those listening. Maybe you're the same. So what does all this stuff actually mean? How does it actually apply to us here and today? Well, I think the most obvious example is gossip. The most obvious example of not giving false testimony against a neighbor is gossip. Because gossip is pretty much unwholesome talk. It's such an easy thing to do, to comment about someone in a negative way when they aren't around. "Damn, Aaron is just so annoying. Did you hear what Annabelle did at that party? What a mess. Why the heck does Mrs. Williams give us so much homework? I bet she's just a divorced old hag." It comes so easily and so natural to us. Often we don't even see that we're doing it. And sometimes if we do realize it, often we just don't care because we like it. Teasing someone, tearing someone down makes us feel better about ourselves. It makes us fit in with everyone else when everyone agrees and everyone laughs with us. But friends, it is not the way that God has called us to live. He loves that person. He loves them deeply. I want to share a story with you. There was a Christian working for the Sydney Morning Herald, which is a newspaper company. She'd been there for some years when one day a colleague came up to her to talk about a major crisis in her life. This was an unbelieving colleague. And during the conversation, the Christian asked, "Why did you come to me?" And the other lady responded, "Well, I don't hear you gossiping in the office, so I thought you'd be a safe person to talk to." Friends, we may be notorious gossipers now. I know I certainly was. But if we try to build a reputation for not gossiping, for not telling lies or giving false testimony about other people, whether it's strange, whether it's teachers, whether it's friends, whether it's family, people will take notice. They will see you being different, and it will lead to gospel conversations. It may take longer than a week. It may take years. But people will see the love of Christ by the way that we love others and the way that we speak about them, because our words reflect our love. Out of our hearts, we speak. If we do not love others, we won't speak kind words about them. We can see that in the second reading that we had in Matthew 12. It says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings out good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus is tearing into the hypocritical Pharisees. They were people who claimed to love God. They knew so much about the Bible, but they didn't love people. They were evil. They went to church, they learnt about God, and so it's important to remember that doing those things doesn't save you. There may be people in this room who operate more like a Pharisee than like Jesus. And how can we tell? Well, out of our hearts, we speak. If we are resentful and frustrated at people, we will say things to tear them down. We will say evil. So what is your mouth saying? Does it reflect your heart? Are you saying good? Are you lifting others up? Do you love those who don't love you? Or do you think only good of those who are kind to you, of your friends, your best buddies, but everyone else, who cares? Because this is important, because like it says in verse 36 and 37, you will be judged according to your words. It's a serious thing. This day of judgment is coming. And all of our empty words, all of my empty words, will be judged. The lies, the banter that you kind of thought was fine because everyone laughed, that will be judged. But for those who love Jesus, that day of judgment will not be one of fear and of pain. because our gossip has already been paid for. We will be judged, but if we cling to Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross will cover us. The wrath and anger that God has at our callous words has been paid for already. Jesus has taken it. God loves the people that you hurt so much, and he is very angry when we hurt people. But he also loves you so much, and he shows you his grace and his mercy. He takes that punishment so we can be perfect in his sight. I'm so thankful that God loves me very much, because I've used so many toxic words in my life, and I still really struggle with it. I'm thankful that when I speak without gentleness, or when I gossip, or when I whinge about what someone else in my growth group has done, God still loves me and forgives me. And because of his deep love for me, and because of his deep love for others in my life, I want to keep striving to love them like he loves me. So this week, check your words. Are you gossiping? Are you tearing others down? And when you check the words that come out, make sure you check your heart as well. Is it hard? Is it bitter towards people? Do you love all people, even those who aren't your best friends? And maybe have a think, why are you gossiping? Is it to get some laughs? Is it to vent frustration at someone? What is the idol? If you're coming to Night Church After, what is the idol underneath your gossip, underneath the words that you use? But instead, maybe this week, think about how you can build others up, how you can show them love, because they are deeply treasured by God. Let us not gossip. Let's go out and use our words to reflect the love of Christ that we know. So we are deeply loved. Amen.